Good morning. That's kind of weak. Let's do that one more time. Good morning. That's better. Thank you. This morning, we're continuing our study in the pastoral epistles. Dr. Weaver has been teaching in chapter 3. Then we had a week off last week. So we're going to begin with just a really, really quick review, okay? So if you have your outline, get it out and be ready. Does anybody need an outline? Okay, they'll get you one. We have three main points in this lesson in chapter 3. A description of perilous times in the last days, a comparison of persecution for the servant of God, and expectation for Timothy and all believers. And Dr. Weaver has been on the first one. If you'll note in your outline, he gave the characteristics of perilous times, things that Timothy can expect to encounter during these times. And he lists them there. There are 20 of them that are listed there, and he went through each one of them. And then in B of your outline, it says the command. Timothy's telling Paul, these are the things you need to look out for, but you need to turn away from them. Make sure you don't get involved in them. And understand that these are things you don't need to be a part of. And then I believe Dr. Weaver, stopped on letter C in your outline, the comparison, in verse 8. So in chapter 3 of Timothy, look at verse 8. We'll pick up right there. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. You note there it says as and so. What Paul's doing here for Timothy is he's making a comparison of the time when Moses was confronting Pharaoh about letting the people go, and there were some miracles performed. Jannes and Jambres are Egyptian magicians, and they were able to produce some miracles. Now, they performed those miracles by the power of Satan. As you'll remember, Moses performed numerous miracles, but through the power of God. And he's telling Timothy, that's what happened back in these times, and there were corrupt men, there was false teaching, and I want you to understand that the same happens today. There's false teaching going on. There are men of corrupt minds, men who are reprobate concerning the faith. And then he goes into corruption. The next verse, verse 9 in chapter 3 says, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. You know, when their false teachers appear, people are swept away. They're taken away from God's word, and they're taught the wrong things. People begin to live in the wrong way because they're swayed by false teachers. And what he's saying here is that's only going to go for a little time. Thankfully, God exposes false teachers, as he has through the period of time there. Paul's telling Timothy, they're false teachers, but thankfully God will expose them, even though they're corrupt. They try to gain influence by preaching and teaching errors in the Scripture, or they take their understanding of the Scripture. Where did all the denominations come from? All the denominations that we know of came from because people had different opinions of what the Scripture was teaching. Some of those denominations are false denominations. They teach false Scripture. And so we deal with it even today. So he's telling them there's going to be corruption. Look out for it. And then we move into the second point of our lesson, a comparison of persecution for the servant of God. Verses 10 through 13, let's read those quickly. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Here Paul is using himself as an example to Timothy. He said, Timothy, these are some things in my life. Let's take a look at them. And Timothy knew Paul very well. Remember that. He spent a lot of time with him. He's watched him. He's been taught by him. And he lists these things. He talks about principle and practices in Paul's personal life. And then he talks about my doctrine, the teaching that he does, the manner of life, the way of life, the manner of leading or spending life. And he talks about a purpose. All of us have a purpose. God has a purpose and plan for all our lives. Then faith. He talks about his faith. Then he talks about his long suffering, the things he went through. Then charity and patience. These are seven things that Paul says form the principle and the practices of his life. But you know what? They're applicable to us today, just as they were then. I underline this verse 10 in my Bible because from time to time, I feel like I need to check up. I need to make sure that I haven't strayed. I haven't moved to the left or to the right of what God wants me to be doing, how he wants me to live. And so it's a good point to check up. You can take these things and go through them and say, now, Lord, how am I measuring up? Am I where I'm supposed to be in my Christian walk? Am I walking in the Spirit? It's a good checkpoint. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I have to go, and this always leads me to prayer. And I usually start that prayer after I've assessed myself with, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Because we're all still sinners. We're all still susceptible to fail. We don't have to sin anymore because we have power over sin because of what Jesus did. But often we do. So I'd ask you this morning, how do you measure up? How's your walk? Are you walking with the Lord? We live in a terrible world. Things are going on right now. Our United States of America is probably as divided as it has ever been since the Civil War. There are things going on that are ungodly. And it doesn't look like it's going to get better. In fact, Paul tells Timothy, it's going to get worse and worse. And unless something changes in America, unless we go back to 2 Chronicles 7:14, where God tells us, if my people, and he's talking to us as Christians, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, turn from our wicked ways. It's on us as Christians. We have a responsibility to live for the Lord. And Paul's saying that he knows what his purpose is. Sometimes I have to go back and renew my resolve on the purpose that God's given me, the plan that God has for my life. And it's a good thing to do. But Paul says there in B, he says, the protection of the Lord. He said, everything that I've gone through, no matter the persecution or the afflictions, God's always protected me. And he always will protect us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. All we have to do is listen and obey, and he'll take care of us. And then he goes through some places that says the places he remembered, Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. These are places where Timothy's familiar with. That's where he's grown up. And so at Antioch, Paul and Barnabas were expelled. They had to leave, get out, because they're preaching and teaching. In Iconium, they were threatened with stoning. And then in Lystra, we know that Paul actually was stoned and left for dead. So he's showing Timothy these things that can happen, the persecution that he might face. All around the world today, there are countries, there are people living in countries who are persecuted. Many of them are murdered and killed. Many of them can't stand out and say, hey, I'm a Christian. Thankfully, we haven't come to that in the United States of America, but we could be drifting in that direction. Satan had a great victory when he killed that young man, Charlie Kirk. There was a great movement among our young people that was happening. That's what needs to happen. It needs to be a movement. There needs to be a revival. And Charlie Kirk, God was using him. And that was a great victory for Satan when he had him murdered. Now, we know that his wife has taken up the mantra, but you know, she's not Charlie Kirk. Hopefully the movement will still continue, but it didn't. We need to understand and remember that we're in a spiritual warfare. We hear that all the time, but it's true. Satan's still powerful. He's still doing everything he can to ruin our nation, our country, and this world. Don't ever forget that. And then he says there's a product of godliness. What's the product? What's the result of living a godly life? He says, in verse 12, he says, all that will live godly shall suffer persecution. We have instances where people are being persecuted in our country. I know of two personally, people that I know that have been persecuted, and one is still being persecuted because of the stand that he takes for the Lord, for the belief he has, the life that he lives. So it's here. Thankfully, it's not as bad as other places. And then he talks about the prospect of wickedness. There's still evil people in this world today. There are evil people in our country today. There are false teachers in our country today. We need to be aware of that. Evil persists, and if we're not careful, even believers can be swept into false teaching. That's why we need to be careful who you listen to on the radio and on TV. You need to be very careful about whose literature you read. And if you have questions, go to pastor. Go to some of the men, godly men in our congregation that'll give you some help, that'll give you some pointers. There are definitely people on the internet you shouldn't listen to, YouTube, things like that. We don't need to be a part of. So be on your toes. My daddy used to tell me, son, if there's any doubt, don't. If you have any doubt about something, don't do it. Because you know the difference between right and wrong. So we need to be very careful. And he says that the reality of it shall wax worse and worse. And since Satan still exists and he still wants to see us fall, we need to be aware of it. And then we move into point number 3, an expectation for Timothy and all believers. And I think we need to emphasize there the all believers. That's us, okay? We need to pay particular attention to this. He's telling Timothy, okay, how do you overcome the apostasy that you're going to face? He said, this is the way you deal with it right here. Look at verse 14. It says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Continue in the things which thou have learned. The things, Timothy was very fortunate. He grew up with his mother and grandmother teaching him the scriptures. So he knew the right things about Scripture, how he was supposed to live. He'd also been associated with Paul and other believers like Paul who had taught him along the way as they went on the missionary journeys. In our case, we have the preaching and teaching that we have here at Worth Baptist Church. You know, we're blessed. We're very blessed to have the heritage that we have. We just celebrated our anniversary. We've been taught properly. Nobody coming to Worth Baptist Church could say they don't hear the Scripture preached. We don't preach about Scripture. We preach Scripture. We preach and teach the gospel. We've heard it. We know. We're accountable. We need to remember that. We're accountable for everything we hear and the things that we do. So we know what's right and wrong. He's telling Timothy that, hey, you stick with the scripture, you can't go wrong. I love it. I think I've told you before, when I was taking a counseling course, the first thing the guy, the professor, uttered out of his mouth, he says, everything goes back to scripture. No matter what you hear, what the situation, the circumstance that people are in that you're counseling them about, you take them to scripture and you can't go wrong. And I found that to be true. Every single time that I would counsel somebody, whether it were a couple or a single person with problems, all I had to do was take them to the scripture. The scripture has everything we need, everything they need. We need to remember that as people come to you with questions, ask you about scripture, take them to the scripture. It's that simple. It works. God works. So he's telling him, be content with the things you learn. You know what's right. Don't stray from it. And you have the confidence because you know of whom you've learned. And then in B, in their connection with scripture. He said, Timothy, you got a personal faith in Christ through the scripture. The great thing about salvation is that it's three parts. There's an immediate salvation, knowing that we will have eternal life. We will spend an eternity in heaven. But not only did Jesus pay for the penalty of sin, he gave us power over sin. Do you realize we don't have to sin? We choose to sin? That kind of hurts, doesn't it, when you think about it like that? We choose to sin. And God knew that was the case. We still live in this old fleshly body, so we'll have a spiritual battle until we get to heaven or until the church is raptured out. And then finally, we'll be saved from the presence of sin when we get to heaven. There'll be no sin in heaven. But until then, we're going to fight a spiritual battle. And he's telling Timothy there, your personal faith in Christ through the scripture is what's going to give you the power to stand and to get you through. And he's talking then about what's the power and purpose of scripture. Look at verse 16. Very familiar verse. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The impact of Scripture. And he's written it down there, and he gives us four things that Scripture impacts us. This verse does. We need to remember that the Bible is infallible. It's trustworthy. We can trust every word in it. That's where we get our power from. That's where we get our knowledge. That's where we get our wisdom from. And it's our guide for our life. The main thing to remember is that Scripture was given to man. It was God-breathed. It's divine. God gave it to man. And man expounded it and put it in a form that we can understand it. It's still God-breathed. It's God's word completely. And the first point he uses there is doctrine about the teaching. It's good for teaching. Scripture is good for teaching because it comes from God. It is truly authoritative truth. Then he talks about reproof. Reproof. It's given to convict. To rebuke. Sometimes we need some reproof, don't we? Sometimes we slip a little bit. Sometimes we can get off course. And that's Scripture's given us to convict us, to show us that we're wrong. The Holy Spirit will show us. That's why I used to always tell the singles class, and I told them, I said, you'll get tired of me saying this, but I'm going to tell you every single time I can remember it. You know, everything rises and falls on Scripture in our life as Christians. Everything. It should be. That's what Paul's life did. That's what it be. We're no different. We should understand that we need to live by God's word. And then it's scripture's given to correct us, to set us straight again, to provide the solution for the fix that we've gotten ourselves in most of the time. Okay? And so it's going to correct us. Then instruction in righteousness. Discipline, training in the conformity to the claims of a higher authority. In other words, thinking and acting in accordance with God's will. Not my will, but God's will. Thinking and then acting according to His will. That's not easy to do. One of the problems that we deal with on Friday nights is people's thought life. People that have addictions and they have bad habits that they've created, and we're trying to first expose to them, expose the gospel to them first, and then expose their addiction to them and help them to realize that thoughts are very important. That's why the Bible tells us in several different places, keep your thoughts on things above, specifically on things above. How do we do that? Well, first of all, we have to spend time in God's word. It needs to permeate our heart and our mind. The more we can know of God's word, the easier it is to have our thoughts to stay pure. Memorizing God's word. I hated memorizing in school when we'd get the poems and all that kind of stuff. But I did it because I knew I had to do it. We need to be memorizing God's word. As old as some of us are, not all of us, but as old as some of us are, we still need to memorize Scripture. Why? What about when you get to the point where you can't see as well as you used to see? It's a little tougher reading that small print, so I get the giant print. Then I get a magnifying glass to get on that. So we need to have it available in our heart, in our mind, that we can use when the Holy Spirit prompts us to use it. One of the most unencouraging things that can happen to you is when you're trying to lead somebody to the Lord and your mind goes blank. You ever been there? Boy, I have. That's why it's so important to have things memorized, because you can say, Holy Spirit, I need help. You know what? He'll give you the right scripture to use. He never fails. There's no greater thing in this world than being able to lead someone else to the Lord. That's the most exciting thing you can do, I believe, as a Christian. But we need to be prepared. How do we get prepared? We hide God's word in our heart that we might not sin against Him. So we need to discipline ourselves in our thoughts. And then we need to act appropriately according to God's word. Sometimes, every now and then, I stick my foot in my mouth. Now, I only wear a size 9.5, but my mouth is about 3.5. We can do that if we don't act properly. If we get to allow my tongue to get ahead of my thought pattern, speak before I think, speak before I catch myself saying things. So our actions need to be in line with our thoughts. That's why the process is so important. And then the last portion of this lesson says the perfection of Scripture. Let's read that verse 17 again there. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Perfect there means mature in God's word. Mature, not perfect. We won't be perfect until we get to heaven. But perfection of Scripture. The more Scripture we know, the more mature we're going to be in the Word and be able to answer in every situation. Fully furnished, thoroughly, thoroughly, fit completely, competent, adept, proficient, equipped. In other words, ready to give an answer. Fit. All of it's to be used to meet our needs, meet our every need. That's what Scripture is. That's what Scripture does. It meets our every need. It can if we let it. So we come to the end of this lesson, and Paul told Timothy he had been taught the word, and now it was time for him to declare the word. He said, this is your purpose, Timothy. This is what you're going to do. This is what you're here for. We can say the same things about us. If you've been at Worth Baptist Church any time, or if you've been blessed enough to grow up in a Bible teaching church, or have parents that did what they were supposed to do and taught you the Word of God, now we've been taught, it's time for us to declare. It's time for us to be able to stand up when it's time to stand. God's put me in a position in my work, and it's not work. It's just kind of a pastime I get paid for. But he's put me in a situation where I have plenty of opportunities to witness. And the question always is, am I going to do it? Am I ready to speak up? And then, am I ready to take a stand when it's necessary? You know, the old saying, you need to pick your battles. That's true. I can get in trouble. I could even be terminated for witnessing on the job. And I have been reprimanded. I'll be honest with you. And I try to do better every time. I've only been reprimanded twice, and it wasn't really bad. But to not pass up an opportunity to witness. As I end my day every day and I begin to take a look back to see how I've done, the Holy Spirit sometimes reminds me, you missed an opportunity today. You passed up this opportunity. You weren't there with the right thought pattern. That, to me, that's sad. That hurts my feelings really bad, because I want to be the example God wants me to be. I want to be the witness that God wants me to be. And I know I have to protect my testimony. I have to protect myself. But I also have to be bold enough at times to step out and give the gospel when the opportunity comes. So he's telling Timothy, okay, it's your time now. And he's also speaking to us, it's our time now. Not later. It's time in America for us to stand up now. It's time for us in Fort Worth, Texas, to take a stand. We need to let our pastor know that we don't only stand behind him, we stand with him. We need to pray for him more than ever, because Satan's going to attack. We know he is. We know he does. We know the situation that's happened just here close to us, just down the road from us, and how Satan attacks in churches. We need to be on our toes, folks. We need not to pass up that opportunity to stand. But we need to do it in the right way, with compassion, with the right heart attitude. That's something I battle a lot of times. When you deal with people who blatantly oppose the Lord, when they blatantly sin and are proud of it, it's hard for me to handle it in the right heart situation. Only God can do that. We need to have our thoughts, our actions in control. We need to be prepared. It's our time. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that your scripture gives us the outline of how we're supposed to live as Christians. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us the Holy Spirit to guide us, to direct us, to teach us. Help us, Lord, to be willing to listen, to obey, to do our best to be the best possible witness that we can, to guard our testimony at all costs, yet to be bold in our witness. Help us to pick the right battles. Give us the right heart attitude. Give us the wisdom that we need. Give us the discernment that we need, Lord. And we know that you will. We are so thankful, Lord, that you never leave us, you never forsake us. You're in every situation, every circumstance that we face. You're right there with us. And we thank you. We're blessed in so many ways. We love you, Lord. We do want to love you more every single day. We pray you'd bless in the preaching and teaching to come, Lord. Give Pastor wisdom as he preaches. Give him Holy Spirit power, Lord. Help us once again to remember that you have something especially for each one of us today that we can take that'll help us draw closer to you. It'll help us to live for you, to bring honor and glory and praise to you. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.